If you're a contract worker, and more people are these days, you probably have irregular hours and pay. So how do you budget? Hi, I'm Rob West. Developing a budget isn't difficult if you know how much money you have to spend. But what if your income keeps changing? Then what do you do? Well, I'll share a few tricks today to help, and then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, new data shows that employers are using about 25% more contract workers now than a year ago, largely due to fears of recession. That means a lot more people are struggling to budget with income that varies from week to week. But the need to budget doesn't change just because your paycheck does. Spending less than you earn is the key to every financial success. It's the foundation that everything else is built upon. It's nearly impossible to stay out of debt and save without a spending plan. This is a plan for your money. It gives every dollar a job and directs the flow of money in and out of your accounts. You'll never be able to maximize your giving and saving without a spending plan. And this applies to everyone, whether you're an employee or a contract worker. It's imperative as a Christian that you wisely manage the resources God's given you. Proverbs 27:23 reads, "Know well the condition of your flocks and give attention to your herds." Having a spending plan means you know, either specifically or on average, how much you have coming in and going out and where those monies are directed. You'll have to give an account someday for how you manage money, so you need to have a plan. Now, the format you choose for your spending plan is up to you. You can use pencil and paper, or you can take a digital approach, and for that, we recommend highly the FaithFi app. You'll find it in your app store. Just search for FaithFi, Faith and Finance. It will help you set up your budget using the tried-and-true envelope system, and it has the best financial content from a host of Christian authors like Shanti Feldhahn, Art Rayner, and Randy Alcorn. So get the Faith and Finance app if you haven't already, or you can learn more at faithfi.com. Just click on the app tab. No matter which approach you choose, begin by tracking your expenses for 30 days. Capture every expense, no matter how small. Then, think about the non-recurring expenses and add them in with a monthly amount needed to have what's necessary when that expense rolls around. This would be quarterly insurance payments, an annual homeowners association fee, vacation expenses, or your Christmas fund. Then take that 30 days of actual spending, plus the non-recurring expenses I just mentioned, and build a budget by category. Once you take a first pass, you'll need to do the hard work of bringing the budget in line with your income and making sure that your spending reflects your goals and priorities. If it doesn't, that's where you need to start cutting back and making changes. By the way, if you use the FaithFi app, you'll find its envelope system particularly helpful for controlling the flow of money in your discretionary categories, which are the typical budget busters because, well, they vary from month to month. These are things like eating out, shopping for clothes, gifts, and entertainment. You'll also have to decide who manages the budget going forward, husband or wife. We all have different gifts and talents. Sometimes the more detailed, organized person is the wife. Sometimes it's the husband. You've got to figure out what's the best approach for you. You can have one person being the bookkeeper, and I recommend that you do, but both spouses need to be in on the plan and the commitment to sticking with it. This is why we recommend, and Howard Dayton, the former host of this program, has recommended for many years, that you have a weekly money date. That's when you come together each week to review the spending for the last 7 days, make course corrections, no finger pointing, and address the unexpected. And of course, the unexpected is always going to happen. So we've covered the variable expenses. Now here's what to do about the variable income, which is key for most contractors. Start with what you do know. What was your average monthly income for the last 6 months? Can you reasonably expect to earn the same amount in the next 6 months? The goal is to arrive at a budget that can be covered by the average or slightly below average amount you expect to earn each month. In the months you earn more, keep the excess in savings to fund the lean months. You may also want to consider depositing all of your income into savings and then transferring only a set amount each month for living expenses. And that's how contractors or anyone can budget successfully on a variable income. All right, your calls are next. 800-525-7000. We'll be right back.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Joshua 1:9 gives us one of the most powerful commands in all of Scripture. Actually, it's the most common command. Do not be afraid. Take heart. Joshua had every reason to be afraid. He was young, and he was about to lead the Israelites into dangerous land that wasn't yet theirs. Don't be afraid. Why? For the Lord is with you. We have reasons to be afraid too, but we need not fear, because Christ is with us by the Spirit, and that's where our strength and our courage is found. Take heart. Your faith is not in vain. Have hope, not in yourself, but in the power of God that goes with you wherever you find yourself. Spend more time with Jesus. Visit GetAnchored.com.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at EventideInvestments.com. That's EventideInvestments.com.
Today's Issues, offering understanding and encouragement.
To those of you who may be worried, let me remind you that our God reigns.
AFA President Tim Wildman is joined by a host of godly voices to help make sense of the news of the day.
Once they take the word experimental off of it, I might feel better about it.
Right. It's only a few outlets like you at American Family Radio that are bothering to report it.
Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Grateful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. We've got two lines open. It's time to take your calls and questions. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We look forward to hearing from you. Let's start today in Oregon. Hi, Lynn. How can I help you?
Good morning. Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
My question is a two-part. It's about a 403B that I have at Voya Financial. Voya is not FDIC insured. They are a self-insured from what I can read. It says they are solely responsible for meeting their obligations on the back of their forms.
Yeah.
So my first question is my money as safe there as, is it reasonably safe?
Well, not against principal loss, but it's reasonably safe in terms of the organization going under. So unlike bank deposits like checking and savings account, 403B plan accounts are not insured at the federal level. They fall under something called ERISA, and there are laws that govern retirement plans. But the biggest issue with regard to a 403B is the investments that are inside it, which obviously could lose value. But with regard to just the integrity of the organization, and if it were to go under, like if Voya were to go bankrupt, what's going to happen to your account? There are laws in place, different from FDIC, but that would provide some protection through the guarantee fund in the at the federal level. But there, it's a different set of protections. So I think the key for you is I'm comfortable with you having a 403B at Voya. I think the biggest issue is just, do you have the right investments inside the plan?
So that's the second part of my question. Since I've been at Voya, which has probably been 15 or 18 years, I've had all of my money in a 4% interest-bearing account. So there's no risk of loss, as long as the company stays solvent. I just felt like I wanted that portion of my portfolio to be safe. So that's where I've kept it. So the second part of my question is, they are offering through another company, a sister company, a 5-year CD that is paying 5.3%. Yeah. And I'm wondering, I do have a couple of other CDs with money that I just had in my, my own banking account. I have some other CDs, but I'm wondering about if it's a good idea, if it's prudent, to take part of that money, say half of it, and put it into a CD. I don't project that I will need for the next 5 years that half. I do have a retirement, and in a couple of years, I'll be taking Social Security when I turn 70.
Sure. Okay. So when you take retirement and you start getting Social Security, how much will you need in addition to Social Security to maintain your lifestyle?
Well, I have a state retirement account.
Okay.
So I have that already. In 2 years, I'll have my Social Security. That will be plenty to live on.
Okay.
And then when I'm 72, I'll have to start pulling from this 403B, my minimum distribution. I will still keep a couple hundred thousand in there, just in a non-CD that I can pull from as I need it.
Yes. Okay. So you essentially are trying to eliminate all risk here in terms of the growth of this portfolio versus, taking a modest amount of risk. The big idea here, Lynn, is obviously we don't want to take any more risk than is necessary. At the same time, what are the other expenses you could have in retirement beyond just your monthly living expenses, which by the grace of God is covered through your state retirement plus your Social Security that you'll be taking here in a couple of years. And that's great. But, could you have major medical expenses, need long-term care and not have long-term care insurance to cover that, which if you needed nursing care could be $9,000 a month or something like that. So the idea would be typically if we have retirement assets like a 401k or 403b, we would put those to work, take a modest amount of risk, maybe have 20, 30, 40% in stocks, the rest in high quality bonds that could generate a return so that over time, yes, CD rates are elevated right now, and that's great. They're not going to be there forever. The Fed's going to work very hard to get inflation down, and interest rates are going to fall with inflation. So although you would miss the recovery of the stock market if you go in CDs now, and then when you try to pick up the CDs later, you wouldn't find the rates that you're finding right now is what we would expect to happen. And so the question would just be, are you going to grow this at an appropriate level to overcome and offset the loss of purchasing power through inflation so that you have something that you could tap into down the road if you needed it, or give it away and, or leave it as an inheritance. But at the same time, to my earlier point, you don't want to take any more risk than is absolutely necessary. So I'm not encouraging you to take risk where you sense that you don't want to. And if that's the case, you can stay in those banking products, which are attractive today. They will be less attractive in the future, but you just have to understand what you're giving up in terms of the potential to, you know, offset longer term the erosion of the purchasing power through inflation and be able to continue to grow this. Does that make sense?
Yeah, trying to be diversified. I didn't mention that I also have a Roth account, a separate Roth account at a brokerage, and a couple hundred thousand there, and that's in all stock.
Okay. All right. Very good. So it sounds like you are diversified. Do you have an advisor that's overseeing this, or are you making these decisions yourself?
I'm making part of them myself, but I also... I've been a partner with Dan Celia.
Yeah, great. Okay.
And so I take, I use his advice as well, or their program.
Okay, very good. Well, as long as you're getting your counsel from somewhere, I think that's really key, that you have, at the very least, a sounding board of some input from somebody who's really giving some careful attention to this in terms of your recommendations. So I like this plan. I think, you know, if you're looking to truly minimize risk, then I think you could take advantage of CD rates. And as you said, if you could lock in for the next 5 years, you know, something north of 5%, that's great, especially given that you are, covered in your monthly bills. I think the question is just, does that give you enough liquidity? Because there would be, you know, penalties if you break that early. And I would love for you to have liquid assets of, you know, at least 6 months, and perhaps in retirement, even more than that, maybe upwards of a year.
Okay. That's good to know. So keep that in mind, to have up to a year of just cash on hand or in an account should I need that.
I think that's right. And the nice thing is that right now you could take advantage of higher yield savings accounts with pure FDIC insurance. So up to $250,000 per institution, per account type. You could have, you know, government protection on access to those funds. And we saw that play out recently here in the banking sector with some of the challenges with a few of these regional banks. So that would still give you the ability to earn, let's say, 3.5% right now, just in a high yield savings account for that portion that you wanted to keep liquid.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. That sounds
very
good.
Awesome. Thanks for your call, Lynn. We appreciate it. Ed, Catherine, we're coming your way next. We've got a few lines open today. We'd love to hear from you with your calls and questions, maybe even a testimony or two. The number to call, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. I'm Rob West. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Friendships is offering an exciting opportunity for young adults who want to grow in their walk with God, become physically fit, and learn relief ministry while serving in the Middle East. This is an amazing opportunity to serve God and experience Israel. Check out Seahawk's one-year scholarship program at friendships.org or call 337-433-5022. That's 337-433-5022. The next session begins August 19th.
What if buying groceries, gas, or dining out could help change lives? With Christian Community Credit Union's cards that give to missions, you can help spread the gospel, combat human trafficking, and protect vulnerable children with every purchase at no cost to you. Apply for your card today. More information is available at joinchristiancommunity.com. That's joinchristiancommunity.com. The credit union is an underwriter of this ministry. Membership eligibility required.
When you hear this,
this is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building, and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at afn.net. And sign up for our daily news brief at afn.net.
Are you struggling to fit your faith into your practice as a Christian financial advisor? The Certified Kingdom Advisor designation teaches you a step-by-step process to confidently deliver advice that aligns with Christian values. Discover the skills you need to help your clients make a kingdom impact. Get started today by enrolling in the CKA educational program at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified. That's kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
Here's Rob West of Faith and Finance, heard here daily on American Family Radio.
We understand how important it is for Christians to leave a legacy that will impact generations to come. One way you can do that is through a charitable gift annuity from the AFA Foundation. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345. Or visit them online at afafoundation.net.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance. I'm Rob West. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Hey, just before the break, our previous caller was asking about the safety of 401ks and 403bs. Here's what I would say. You know, for instance, if your company were to go bankrupt, really the only thing that would be in jeopardy would be contributions that had not been made to that point. So, for instance, if in the current pay period your employer hasn't made the deposit, they have 15 days from the end of the month to do that. But let's say they haven't and they've gone under, you may lose out on that. You may lose out on something that was not contributed from based on the vesting schedule. So matching or profit sharing contributions might be in jeopardy depending on whether you've met certain benchmarks to get those. For instance, a lot of times 1 year of employment is a date for you to be able to have access to those contributions. And so you could lose that. Also, if you hold company stock in your 401k, that could, of course, become worthless. But beyond that, the money in your 401k is likely held with a third-party investment firm like a Fidelity or another brokerage firm, and you could leave the money right there. You could transfer it potentially to a new 401k, or you could certainly roll it into an IRA. So these plans are governed by ERISA law, and you know, I think for folks wondering and watching what's happening in the banking sector with FDIC insurance, which clearly the government stepped in and provided a backstop there, entirely different with 401ks, but you can have confidence that this is not about your company and its solvency. This is about a separate plan, even though you may give up some current contributions that need to be made if that company were to no longer be in effect. So hopefully that helps clear up kind of how that works and if you have questions about it. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Back to the phones to Virginia. Hi, Ed. How can I help you, sir?
Yes, sir. I want to thank you for all that you do for everybody out here. My question is, I have a credit report issue, and I've called the credit like TransUnion and stuff like that, and I always end up during that call or trying to make that call when I Google them. I always get a law office that wants to charge me. So I was wondering if you had a phone number that I can actually get right to somebody to where they're not going to be charging me a monthly charge to get this credit issue straightened out.
Yeah, you don't need to go through a third party, so I'm not sure what number you're calling there. The key is to go direct to each of those creditors, and based on the Fair Credit Reporting Act, Ed, you can challenge through their websites or in writing anything you see on a credit report that's inaccurate, and they have 30 days to either verify it and justify that to you or delete it or update it if it's just wrong information. And you want to do that direct with the Bureau. So if you want to just pull a report, if you haven't recently, I would go to annualcreditreport.com. That's actually a website put out by the government that allows you to access your credit file from each of those three bureaus at no cost. And so annualcreditreport.com is where you could get the credit reports to review them. And then once you identify any information on there that's inaccurate or needs to be updated, and it's not uncommon for credit reports to have inaccurate information, then you'd go directly to those bureaus, Experian.com, TransUnion.com, Equifax.com, and then initiate a dispute. And there'll be a very clear process for you to do that. If you want to call them, you can do that. I would get the phone number directly from their website and instead of, you know, typing that into a search engine. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Okay. Yeah, because I have found there is some misinformation, because I did talk to a lawyer for a, you know, free consultation, and he pulled up my stuff, and they had some things that were 10 years back, and he had told me, he said, these shouldn't even be on here. And also, I've got a letter from one company. I had a hardship letter because my wife passed away, and they went ahead and told me that they would write me a letter and that my debt was forgiven. Yeah. And that they were not going to pursue me for anything else. And so I was trying to get those that letter to that creditor and stuff like that. So I just was, but I will look up that information and try to get it taken care of.
Yeah, that sounds good. I mean, to your point, generally speaking, negative information like a late or missed payment, account that's been sent to collection, not paid as agreed, bankruptcies, generally stay on your credit report for 7 years. So if that hasn't rolled off, you could dispute that. Just be careful, Ed, about paying, quote unquote, to fix your, you know, credit through a credit repair company. It's usually a waste of money, since they can't do anything you can't do yourself. And often there's a lot of fraud involved in that. So you don't need to pay anybody to do anything. It's a very simple process to dispute credit report information. It happens all the time, and it has to be removed or modified if it's inaccurate according to the law. So I would just go start by pulling those reports and then go direct to each bureau and initiate that dispute. All right.
All right. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, sir. God bless you. And thanks for your call today. Let's head to Kentucky. Hi, Catherine. How can I help you?
Good morning. And thank you. I called a couple of weeks, actually, I think it was 2 weeks ago today, that I had some money I was going to put, I wanted to invest or put somewhere for my grandchildren. And I initially asked for I bonds, but you said to put it in an index fund instead. So I was getting ready to do that last week, and then those banks failed. So yeah. I didn't know if that had anything to do with where I should move it or go ahead and do this. I wanted to talk to you first.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that. I mean, certainly it all has to do with risk and reward. The bank issue that we saw last week, and you know whether or not we'll see any more spillover effect into that still remains to be seen. That's not going to affect what we're talking about here in terms of you having a long-term investment strategy and just investing this in high-quality either mutual funds or exchange-traded funds. They are unrelated. This has to do with the accessibility of bank deposits from regional banks that were mismanaging their portfolios and too highly concentrated in long-term government bonds. And when there was a need for deposits to come out because they served a very particular sector of the economy and high growth technology, they had to liquidate those bonds and they had to sell them at a loss. And the money just wasn't there. And it was because it was mismanaged. And then we saw that spill over into a few others as there was greater scrutiny. That doesn't affect the stock market. I think the key is just, are you comfortable taking a long-term perspective, recognizing the market will still be volatile? Let's do this. I've got to take a quick break, Catherine, but let's finish up on the other side of this break. If you don't mind, stay right there and we'll be right back. Stay with us.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
Target still refuses to change their policy that gives men who identify as women open access to women's restrooms and changing rooms. This keeps the doors open for predators to exploit this policy for evil, keeping women and girls at risk of becoming victims. We believe Target will stop the insanity if there's enough pressure. If you haven't signed the boycott pledge, will you sign it today at afa.net/Target? And don't forget to ask everyone you can think of to sign it and share. afa.net/Target.
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
We use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. Here's the website, chministries.org. chministries.org.
45,000. That's how many times FaithFi referred a listener to a certified Kingdom advisor last year, and for good reason. These are trusted financial, legal, and accounting professionals who have completed a rigorous certification program to ensure biblically wise financial advice as part of their practice. You can find a local CKA professional in your area by going to faithfi.com and clicking on the Find a CKA button on the homepage.
Forget about Facebook.
The last 10 days we've been banned twice, and is unbanning a word?
They put us under the ban. Christians and conservatives
don't need you, YouTube.
Banned one day, banned again.
AFR programs are now live streaming on the AFA streaming app. Now you can get shows like Today's Issues straight from the source.
Put back on the next.
Just say unbanned.
Unbanned.
Just search AFA streaming or visit streaming.afa.net to sign up.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Are you looking for a way to control your spending, stay on top of your budget, have more clarity into your spending plan with your spouse so you can make better decisions? Well, the FaithFi app might be just what you're looking for. You can download it today on our website, faithfi.com. Just click app. All right, back to the phones we go. Just before the break, we were talking to Catherine in Kentucky. She and I previously had a conversation about some money she would like to put away for her grandchildren. We decided that just given she wants some long-term growth, they're young, and she'd like to outpace inflation, we talked about her just putting it in a high-quality mutual fund or index fund and just being systematic in her contributions so that she could take advantage of this market that's down right now, but grow it over time, perhaps overcoming the effects of inflation and having something significant that she can pass on to the grandkids at the time of her choosing. And because of that, we weren't going to put it in a custodial account. And Catherine's just wondering, in light of the events of the last week or so in the banking sector, does that change anything? And Catherine, what I was saying before the break is no, it doesn't. That really was about accessing deposits from regional banks that were having some issues. And we could see more of that, but clearly the government provided the backstop there. They've said multiple times now through Treasury Secretary Yellen and even again yesterday with Chairman Powell that the banking sector is solid. They are going to backstop what they need to, and they may even go beyond $250,000, although we shouldn't count on that. So that's completely different than stock market investing where, you know, we're putting this market, this money in the market and trying to grow it over time. You know, that's the very best place to grow your wealth with a properly diversified portfolio. You know, we were talking with Mark Biller earlier in the week. You know, when you look at an 8 to 10 year period going all the way back to 1926, I mean, your chances of losing money in 8 years or more when you're properly diversified and invested is less than 3%. So only 2 to 3% of the time, you know, in any 8 to 10-year period since 1926, you know, has there been, you know, folks that lost money. So the likelihood is you would be able to grow this, especially given right now, if you were to start, you know, now while the market's down off of its lows from a couple of years ago, you know, you have a greater prospect of making money. But if you said to me, Rob, I'm just not comfortable taking risk. I don't want to open the statement a year from now and see that in any one particular quarter, the market is down and my portfolio's down, the money I'm putting aside for my grandkids, and I'd rather just put it in I bonds or put it in banking products and just be happy with, you know, 5% a year for the next 5 years in a CD, you know, you could certainly do that. I think it really just comes down to risk and reward and whether you have an appetite to take a little bit of risk, but with a long-term investment horizon, you have a greater potential to grow this over time. So I've thrown a lot at you there. Give me your thoughts.
Yes. Okay. You had said that with the index funds, what you recommended under Charles Schwab, and then you said there was a robo advisor.
Yeah. So the idea there is if you're going to make a systematic contribution, so you don't have $10,000 a day, you're just going to drop in. You want to put in a little bit every month. Is that right? Am I remembering correctly?
No, I'm actually going to put in 10.
Okay, so you're going to put in 10 per grandchild?
Mm-hmm. No, just right now, and then I'll add every month.
Oh, and then you'll add every month. Okay. Possible. Yeah, very good. Yeah, so because you want to make systematic contributions beyond the initial deposit, that's where I think a robo-advisor could shine because it's very low cost. Every time you make a deposit, there's no transaction costs. It's reinvested. It's called rebalancing. So whatever that mix of index funds is, if you put in another $100, it's automatically going to be distributed into that same mix of an ETFs, indexes, and reinvested without any transaction costs. So that's where those can be really effective when you're dealing with a smaller amount of money and a monthly contribution. So I suggested you look at either Charles Schwab. They call their robo-advisor Intelligent Portfolios, the Schwab Intelligent Portfolios. Another option would be go to our friends at soundmindinvesting.org, and through their Sound Mind Investing newsletter, they could give you some mutual fund recommendations. But the Schwab solution is a little more automated.
Okay. Well, that all makes sense. I was just concerned about all this banking thing. So that
I can understand why you were. Yes, ma'am. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Finish your thought.
Thank you so much for your help.
You're very welcome, Catherine. I certainly appreciate your desire to give some money to your grandkids. I hope this will be a great way for you to do it. If we can help you further along the way, don't hesitate to reach out. Appreciate your call. 800-525-7000. We've got some lines open today, and we've got a bit more time, so we'd love to hear from you. Maybe you have a story, a testimony you'd like to share with us of God's faithfulness in your life, or there's a question, financially speaking, that you've been dealing with, wrestling with. You'd like to put it on the table today. I'd love to hear it. 800-525-7000. Let's head back to the phones. Mississippi. Hi, Trent. Go right ahead, sir.
Yes, sir. Let me cut my speakers.
Sure.
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
I sure can.
Yes, sir. I had a question. Okay. We built a church, and we were just family. And also, we went to the bank. We got a commercial loan, and we paid our 20% down. They gave us, like, an adjustable rate mortgage. I didn't really want it, but, I mean, that bank, they were the only one to give us the loan. So.
Yes, sir.
I went with it. So
you could take what you could get, right?
Yes, sir. Because we just family, just me and my wife and three kids. That's
okay.
All. I mean, and anyway, so we built the church anyway, and also it's only on commercial loan. Is that only they do that at bank? The adjustable rate mortgage on commercial loans?
No, not necessarily. You can have a fixed commercial loan.
Okay, that what I really would want, but we got like 4%, so I ain't really too much worried about it, but you know, but I know before after the 5 years up, we have to get it, you know, whatever the market is, you got to get that rate at that market.
That's right, yes, sir. That's correct.
Okay, but now I'll ask you one more question. If we pay it off, do they charge like a penalty if you pay it off? before
you
time?
Typically not. You know, we used to see those in the, you know, decades ago with higher interest rate mortgages. With these lower rates in the last several years, although they're up now, we typically don't see what is called a prepayment penalty. And so you would need to ask your lender about that. It would have been disclosed to you in the initial documents. You probably don't remember, and that's fine. I don't know that I would have either. But you just need to call and ask. But I would guess, and I'd be fairly confident in this, that there is no prepayment penalty whatsoever, so you can pay it off at any time.
Okay, I'll ask you one more question. I'll let you go, sir.
Sure.
Okay, like the land tax, even though if the church is my name, will I still be able to get, you know, church, like, you know, land taxes? Is, you know, they don't pay the land tax, on most churches don't. But even though the church is in my name, would I be able to not to pay taxes on the land?
Well, the question is, how is it set up? Is it a 501c3? Are you a not for profit?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
We are.
Yeah. So you're not subject to property taxes.
Okay.
So, I mean, you could always check with a CPA or accountant on the specifics based on how this has been set up, and your involvement in it. But, you are a tax exempt organization, as a church. So, but I would always run this by a CPA or accountant who can look at the details of your situation, make sure everything is structured appropriately, because the last thing you'd want to do is find out after the fact that all of a sudden you owed something and you have penalties and interest and so forth. Hey, all the best to you guys. I love this, that you built a small church there, and you and your family, and you're serving the Lord and sharing the gospel. That's incredible. Thanks for being on the program, Trent. Anita, we're coming your way, plus your questions. We'll be right back.
Thanks for listening to AFR. I'm Tim Watson.
Whoa, no way that just happened.
Yeah, this radio is old, man.
Wait, you have Roku, don't you?
Yeah, but how's that gonna help us?
Dude, AFR's on Roku now.
Oh, seriously?
Yes. Where's your remote?
All right, here we go.
We're in the same,
You are a genius.
Oh, yeah.
American Family Radio, available on Apple and Android products, Amazon Alexa, and now available on Roku.
Abraham Hamilton III.
God put us in this world at this time to be salt and light. We don't fool because of the darkness that we're facing. This is not the first time in the world's history that it's gotten dark. God has called you and I to be his ambassadors, even in this dark moment.
Tune in to the Hamilton Quarter, weekdays at 5 p.m. Central on Urban Family Talk.
God's Word is packed with life-changing wisdom about your finances, and FaithFi is here to help you and many others to be wise stewards of God's resources. As a nonprofit organization, we rely on help from FaithFi patrons, supporters of this mission, to help us continue and expand our outreach. Please consider becoming a monthly FaithFi patron. Visit faithfi.com and click Give on the homepage.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
Delighted to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. It's 800-525-7000. Hey, if you haven't downloaded the FaithFi app to take this program with you on the go, access all of our great content, the best in Christian finance, and tap into the FaithFi community where folks are posting questions, getting answers every day. You can download it in your app store. Just search for FaithFi, Faith and Finance, or go to our website, faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com, and click app. All right, back to the phones we go. Anita's in Texas waiting patiently. Hi, Anita. How can I help you?
Hi, how are you? I'm great.
Good.
I think I was pointing to your girl. I'm sure you have it on your screen, but my husband made, retired in 2018, and he made, went back to work for as a consultant and made like a ton of money. Anyway, all that to say, our tax person recommended that we, because we get distributions from our brokerage account, yeah, you know, to live on or whatever, because we're not old enough, or we didn't take Social Security. Anyway, all that to say, she recommended that we take a tax only distribution, which we did, and it wasn't enough. So our tax burden is quite large this year, and she recommended, this was our accountant, recommended that we get with our financial advisor and open a SEP, S-E-P, yeah, because he was working on a 1099, and it reduces our taxes substantially, like over $5,000. Yeah. So I just was curious because I wanted a second opinion, kind of. We're on our way to see our tax or our financial advisor today, and I just wanted to get like a second opinion and see what you think.
Yeah, absolutely. I like that a lot. A SEP IRA would allow you to deduct your contributions, and they're obviously not subject to withholding or Social Security or anything like that. Basically, SEP stands for Simplified Employee Pension, and it gives you, mm-hmm, basically a simple method to contribute toward retirement as a self-employed person. This year, you could put in up to $66,000 or 25% of compensation, the lesser of the two. So you can put in a good bit more than you'd be able to put in an IRA at either $6,500 or $7,500 per person per year. You know, if you're over age 50, you could do $7,500 this year, or if this is for last year, you could do $7,000 over the age of 50. But given that you can do 25% or $66,000 in the SEP, all of that would be excluded from your taxable income that you make the contribution to, which would really help that tax liability, as your CPA suggested. And then that money could be invested, and you could, you know, take advantage of this lower stock market right now. And as long as you have a proper time horizon of at least 5, preferably 8 to 10 years, you know, you should do well with that. And then you save some taxes in the meantime. So I'm in complete agreement. I think that's a great plan.
Can I ask you this question too?
Sure.
She told me that because we're 64, that we can just turn right around and take that out and reinvest it in something else. We have, you know, several other accounts and, you know, annuities and all that kind of stuff. So would it be prudent to just leave it in there then for that 8 to 10 years? Again, we're 64. And yeah, or should we just, like, once we get the tax benefit and you know, use it, then take it out and put it back because of the amortization, you know, the growing.
Yeah, no, you're going to want to leave it in that tax-deferred environment because you'll defeat the purpose. As soon as you take it out, you would create a tax liability because you would have to pay tax on it as income when it comes out. So you're going to want to leave it in there. I mean, you could certainly move it to another tax-deferred environment if you preferred an insurance product. You could potentially, you know, roll it over. But I would probably just leave it there and invest it. And that's something you'll want to talk to your advisor about. I assume you have other investments, and he or she can use the same investment strategy with this, the funds going into the SEP IRA. But I would just look at it as one piece of your overall investment portfolio. But we're going to want to keep it in that tax-deferred environment, so that you don't inadvertently undo what you were trying to do, which is to save on your tax liability. But you also want to keep it in the tax-deferred environment, so as it's growing in whatever investments are selected for the funds inside the SEP, the taxes are not putting a drag on the returns, because inside, you know, the SEP is like an umbrella, and if the taxes are the rain, the SEP keeps the taxes from touching those investments inside, so they're just free to grow without any effect from the taxes, no capital gains or anything like that. And then when you're ready to take it out at some point down the road because you want to make a charitable contribution, or, you know, you want to, you know, supplement your income, or you have major medical expenses, then you pay tax on it as it comes out as a distribution, just like it if it were income.
Okay, so even if we have a gift annuity where we, you know, put money in there and then we gift like different companies through the year, or not companies, but you know what I mean, 501c3s. Anyway, and so if we transfer from the SEP after, say, several years to one of those gift annuities, is that tax-free and like a rollover, or we still have to pay taxes on that?
No. So as long as you're putting it into a charitable gift annuity, you can distribute from an IRA to a charitable gift annuity. So if that's what you were looking to do, you could absolutely do that. And you just work with your advisor to make that happen.
Okay. Perfect. That's perfect. I appreciate it so much. Thank you.
Absolutely, Anita. Hey, all the best to you guys. And I'm glad to hear you're going to visit with your advisor. Sounds like a good decision. Let's head to Virginia. Hey, Kevin, how can I help you?
Yes, sir. I just wanted to find out the pros and cons about the index universal life insurance. I mean, you hear a lot these days that all riches invest on this IUL, and they can always withdraw the money, and they don't have to pay tax. They can pay back any time. But, you know, nothing can be always the best, right? So if there's any opinion from you that pros and cons about index universal life insurance,
that you can
deposit your lumps of money.
Yeah, it's not my first choice. I'd rather you just take a lump sum if you have the right time horizon and invest that so you can have unlimited returns. You know, one of the downsides, and the things you mentioned are true, but one of the downsides of IUL is there's a cap often on the return. So they set a maximum participation rate of less than 100%, and it can be as low as 25% in some cases. So the returns on the equity indexes are capped at certain amounts during the good year. So that can restrict or limit the actual rate of return credited to your account every year. And that's why I like investing in the market directly, because you get the full upside. There's no guarantees. So, you know, a whole life policy, if that's what you're looking for, offers a guaranteed interest rate with predictable premiums. The IUL offers returns based on an index and has a variable premium. So you'd have to be comfortable riding out fluctuations in returns while also you've got a budget for potentially higher premiums. And then I just don't like the fees. So it comes with a slew of fees, you know, premium expense charges and admin expenses and riders and commissions and surrender charges. So you don't get full access to your money. So for that reason, although I think they have a place, I'm not someone who says never consider them, I would just prefer you take money that you have the ability to grow over a long period of time, preferably 8 to 10 years or more, and, you know, participate fully in the market. You're assuming some risk with that, clearly, which you wouldn't have with a guaranteed insurance product, but you get the full upside potential and you get access to your money with a lot greater control over the fees that you're paying. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. So you trying to say that investing on the market probably better off than IUL or the full-term life insurance?
That's my preference, yes, sir, because of the liquidity, getting access to your money, being able to get better returns that aren't capped, and eliminating a lot of the fees that come with insurance products. So for that reason, I'd rather you invest outside of an insurance product in a properly diversified portfolio. And if you've got a significant sum of money here, it sounds like you sold a business, and that's great. I'd get an advisor to help you, make these decisions for you. So if you don't have one, I'd head to our website, faithfi.com, click Find a CKA. CKA stands for Certified Kingdom Advisor. There's about 1,350 of these men and women across the country that have met high standards and character and competence and a regulatory review and pastor reference and client references, and they've been trained to bring biblically wise financial advice, and they've got a lot of experience. So I would interview two or three CKAs and pick the one that's the best fit for you, and then that individual could deploy these assets in an investment approach that meets your goals, not based on their desires, but based on your goals and objectives and risk tolerance. But they would make the buying and selling decisions. Now, you could do it on your own too. You could, you know, go to soundmindinvesting.org, our friends there, and use their mutual fund selection or suggestions. You could use a robo-advisor. But I just think with a significant sum of money, I'd rather you see you stay outside of an insurance product and have an investment advisor who could take responsibility for managing this on a day-to-day basis. All right?
Thank you so much, sir.
Okay. Hey, God bless you, and congrats on selling that business. That's really exciting, and thanks for being a part of the program today. Well, folks, we've covered a lot of ground today, so thankful to have you with us. Hey, before we go, let me remind you, FaithFi, this program, Faith and Finance on American Family Radio, is listener-supported, which means we do what we do because of your generous support. So many of you are monthly and regular givers to this ministry. We want to say thanks. If you haven't contributed to FaithFi, you consider yourself a part of this community. Maybe you rely on this program and look forward to it each day. Well, we just invite you to ask the Lord beyond the giving to your local church and AFA what you would do to support FaithFi, and we'd certainly be grateful. You can make a gift quickly and easily online or through the mail or on our toll-free number directly with our team. All that information is available at faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com. Just click the Give button. On behalf of my team today, Robert Sutherland, Devin Patrick, and Pat Montague, I'm Rob West, thanking you for being a part of our program today. Hope you have a great rest of your day. Go out and live for Jesus and handle His money as a tool to accomplish His purposes. Come back and join us tomorrow. We'll see you then. God bless you. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.